Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Joan Claybrook, who is the President Emeritus of Public Citizen, a non-profit public interest advocacy organization that seeks to protect consumer interests in policymaking, the former administrator at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation from 1977 to 1981. She is currently working on issues including product liability, campaign finance reform, healthcare reform, trade and regulatory policies, and auto and highway safety. Welcome to Background Briefing, Joan Claybrook.
Thank you.
And as the former administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, you wrote a joint letter with Clarence Ditlow, the executive director of the Center for Auto Safety, to GM's CEO, Mary Barra, saying that these newly released GM documents are an obscure but smoking gun that, quoting, paints a tragic picture of the cost culture and cover-up at GM. So let's talk about the cost culture. What do you mean by that?
Well, in this particular case, General Motors designed first the proper spring device and plunger to go inside of a switch to turn on and off the engine of the early Saturn in 2003 and then the Cobalt in 2005. And then a month later, they designed a second one, which was less difficult to turn on, more likely to turn off on its own, and shorter. The plunger was shorter. And that was a cheaper version, we believe. We don't have any documentation of that, but it uses less materials. And so General Motors decided to select and use the less substantial version of this interior of the switch. And as a result, the switch would turn off on its own, cutting the power steering, the power brakes, and the airbag not working, and you couldn't obviously drive the car. And there have been quite a number of accidents, a lot of injuries, at least 13 deaths, we believe more. And so for a few pennies a switch, General Motors allowed its employees to do that, and as a result we have unbelievable death and injury, damage to families, permanent damage, families in distraught.
So what does this say about this giant kind of, I guess you could call it a capitalist bureaucracy, GM? Is it really run by numbers crunchers and not by engineers and car makers?
Well, it appears to be, and there is a new CEO, and her name is Mary Barra, and that's to whom we wrote the letter. She has been saying that she is not going to continue this cost culture at General Motors, but is going to have it put an emphasis on safety and protection of the customers. And she has appointed a new vice president for safety, and she is forming several other safety committees and so on. But the fact is that this is something that was known inside General Motors. She testified that she was not aware of any of the particulars. And yet, before she testified, the documents that we have highlighted today showing that they had a choice of which interior switch materials to use and chose the one that was most dangerous, that had already been submitted to the committee. So apparently, no one ever told her that this had been already submitted to the committee. And unfortunately, because it's very detailed and technical and engineering ease in these drawings, it was not obvious. It took a long time to go through the documents and to sort these out. But we asked her, was she not briefed by her staff, her engineering staff, before she went and testified? Did she know that these documents had been submitted to the committee, and I presume also to the agency, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration? And, you know, why she didn't highlight this, that, you know, that this wrongdoing had occurred. So that's what we say in our letter. And also, of course, in 2006, for the 2007 models, when General Motors changed the switch to be the more substantial switch, they didn't do a recall of the vehicles that they had already made and sold, the Saturns and the Cobalts, that were where the switch was failing. And so they violated federal law by not doing that. And they also did not give a new part number to the new interior part of that switch so that it could be traced when the change was made. But apparently was made for the 2007 model sometime in the summer of 2006.
But starting in 2001, they started to have casualties and crashes, did they not?
Well, yes, they did. They realized there was a problem in 2001. I think that the model was a 2003, so it started in 2002. Mm-hmm. And they already had, yes, casualties and deaths and injuries and lawsuits, complaint letters. So they were aware of this for a few years before they made a change. And they talked to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration about the problem after that agency had done some crash investigations that were related to why the airbag didn't inflate. And the investigators all noted that the ignition switch was in the accessory position, which means that you could run the radio but not drive the car. And so they were aware that there was some problem with the switch, but they didn't know what it was. And so that's when they started talking to General Motors, and that was in 2007. And that was after General Motors had already made this change in the switch, and they never told the agency. They kept saying it was a confounding issue.
Again, I'm speaking with Joan Claybrook, who's the President Emeritus of Public Citizen, a nonprofit public interest advocacy organization that seeks to protect consumer interest in policymaking, the former administrator at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation from 1977 to 1981. She is currently working on issues including product liability, campaign finance reform, healthcare reform, trade and regulatory policies, and auto and highway safety. And along with Clarence Ditlow, the Executive Director of the Center for Auto Safety, Joan Claybrook wrote a letter to GM's CEO, Mary Barrett. Today it was, I take it.
Yes, we sent it this morning.
Talking about these newly released internal GM documents that reveal that the company in 2001 considered, then rejected, an ignition switch design that you and Clarence Ditlow say could have avoided the problem that led to the automaker to recall millions of vehicles. And we're talking about 2.6 million cars that are now being recalled. And so this information, then, this came out in the documents that they sent to the Congress ahead of GM's CEO Mary Barrett's testimony. And I guess it took a while to go through the fine print. Is that what happened?
Well, it's 200,000 documents.
Sure.
And these were drawings, which are engineering drawings, which are very difficult to evaluate. And so no one tried to evaluate them until the Center for Auto Safety looked at them and said, let's explore this further. These are the drawings dealing with the switch. And they consulted some other engineers and realized that there were two different switches designed in 2001, one a cheaper version, we believe. This the one that they selected to use, but they had previously designed one that was more substantial. And when they got into trouble in 2006 with people dying and switches turning off, they went back to the 2001 better design and put it in the new model vehicles. But they did not do a recall of the vehicles manufactured before the 2007s, and they never told the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. The federal regulator of the auto industry, that they had done this. They didn't give it a separate part number, so they made it very hard to trace. And also Delphi, the supplier of the systems, was not asked for any information about it, apparently, by the government. But they have now revealed that there was a part change.
Well, this sort of reminds me, Joan Claybrook, of the old adage from Watergate that the cover-up is worse than the crime. Is that the way you see it?
I do. I do see that. I think that people are going to be shocked about this. And it's really outrageous that a company that manufactures a dangerous product, which a car is a dangerous product, would allow it to have a switch that could turn off on its own and put people at risk. And I've never really heard of, I've heard of cars stalling, but I've never heard of a switch turning itself off. And so this is a very, very dangerous situation. It's an unreasonable risk to safety, which is the terminology in the federal statute that says what a safety defect is, an unreasonable risk to safety. And I also, of course, blame the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration for not fully investigating this, not using their subpoena power and other information-gathering resources to demand from General Motors these kinds of documents. And so when the Congress scheduled hearings and demanded background documents on this, so then did the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, you know, very late, because this all occurred between 2001 and 2007. And so it's, you know, many, many years late and a lot of deaths and injuries. And they all didn't occur back then. These cars continue, you know, in use. And so that's why they're now being recalled, because they still have the old switch and they have to replace that. And so people are still liable, you know, for terrible crashes if you can't control the steering and if you have no accelerating power. You know, you can imagine yourself in the middle of traffic and, you know, people honking at you and wanting you to get out of the way or speed up or whatever, and you can't, you can barely turn the wheel, you can't apply the brakes very easily, and if you have a crash, the airbag's not going to inflate. That's just a terrible situation.
Well, I must say, Joan Claybrook, as a parent, when I saw those pictures of the 13 who died, and many of them were young teenage drivers, young women, and I thought of my own daughter. I mean, you know, when the first car is usually a small, compact, like the Cobalt or the Ion, and that I just find this really deeply tragic, and just looking at those pictures was really upsetting.
Well, it is, and we urge the families to come to Washington and to have a major press conference with us before Mary Barrow testified, so that people could see the faces of the families that have had these tragic losses. And the families were terrific. They went to see their members of Congress. They went to the hearing. They were not asked to testify. Hopefully they will be asked to testify. There will be another hearing. And I think that this, revelation that we've just made available today, this smoking gun documents, will, prompt another hearing, because it implies that Mary Barrow should have known about these, because they'd already given the documents to the committee, but she never told the committee.
So what is then the lesson for these big corporate behemoths and their CEOs and their boards of directors, given the nature of how much it's going to cost them now? I mean, you know, do you have the exact amount of money that was saved by putting this faulty switch in compared to the other one when they had the...
No, we don't have the exact amount of money that was saved, but it was probably pennies,
right?
And per car. And it's relatively small amount of money. The number of vehicles is 2.6 million, so you multiply that by some penny. So it was in the millions of dollars, but that's relatively small for this kind of company. I mean, after all, Mary Barrow makes $14 million. So all they had to do was to cut her salary by in half, and it would have paid for it. And so most people don't even think that making, you know, $100,000 is going to be possible per year in their lifetime. And here she's making $14 million, and yet the company is counting pennies. So it's really, such a small amount of money for these huge companies. The highest penalty that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration can impose on General Motors or any other big company for any particular violation of the law is $35 million. So, and that's definitely not enough money to change their behavior. But they do it on this switch and that bolt and whatever, and it all counts at the auto company. And I think that the lesson learned for them is that while they may not get caught on every one of these, they are going to get caught if they do this a lot. And they did get caught here. And it's going to cost them billions and billions of dollars. Between the cost of the recall, the cost of the sales loss from adverse publicity, the cost of whatever penalties they're going to have to pay to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, plus the possibility that they will have to pay criminal penalties to the U.S. Attorney of the Southern District of New York, who is doing an investigation and fined Toyota $1.2 billion. So it's cheaper to behave as most people know, in their own personal lives, and it's cheaper for an auto company to behave in the long run.
Well, Joan Claybrook, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Okay, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Joan Claybrook, who is the President Emeritus of Public Citizen, a nonprofit public interest advocacy organization that seeks to protect consumer interest in policymaking. The former administrator at the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration of the U.S. Department of Transportation from 1977 to 1981. She is currently working on issues including product liability, campaign finance reform, healthcare reform, trade and regulatory policies, and auto and highway safety. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking about former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg's $50 million challenge to the NRA.